Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is to really synthesize the intelligence on a major new threat that's kind of bubbling up. It's called Shadow V2, and this isn't just another malware variant. We're talking about a sophisticated Mirai-based botnet that's actively turning everyday IoT devices, your security cameras, your routers, into weapons on a huge scale.
That's absolutely the core of the threat. It's really the professionalization of cybercrime. Shadow V2 is a big technical leap. It takes an existing idea like Mirai, but applies this new, really targeted intelligence to build a global weaponized network.
And the thing that immediately jumps out from the intelligence sources is the timing. Shadow V2 was first spotted during that massive AWS outage back in October. Now, to be clear, the official word is there was no direct causal link, but the timing just feels a little too perfect to be a coincidence.
Right, and what's fascinating here is the operational planning that implies. Security researchers, they're not just calling it a coincidence. They're suggesting that by operating during that kind of widespread disruption, when network defenders everywhere are already overwhelmed, it points to a carefully planned test run.
A test run for what, though?
Exactly. They used all that noise and confusion as cover. Think about it. If they launched a full-scale test on a normal, quiet day, it would have set off alarms everywhere. It would have drawn massive scrutiny. But by doing it during the AWS event, they can map out their compromised devices, they can test their command and control links, and they can do it all without drawing that focused, immediate attention. They were testing a new criminal asset in the fog of war.
That sounds terrifyingly efficient. Okay, so walk us through the mechanics. How is this thing actually breaking in? What devices is it going after?
Well, Shadow V2 is designed to infiltrate a huge variety of devices. It's not just one brand. We're talking about D-Link, TP-Link, surveillance systems from DigiEver, and TBK devices as well. This isn't some generalized spray-and-pray attack. It shows a really comprehensive, tailored knowledge of the specific security weaknesses in these products.
And the range of vulnerabilities it exploits is really telling, isn't it? It's not just looking for one little flaw.
Not at all. It's highly comprehensive. The sources we have say it exploits at least 8 documented vulnerabilities. And what's really eye-opening is the temporal range. I mean, the age of these flaws. It targets DDWRT, router firmware bugs. They go all the way back to 2009.
2009, that's ancient history in tech terms.
It is. But it also targets brand new flaws discovered in late 2024. So the threat actors are rapidly incorporating both legacy and brand new attack vectors into one single toolkit, which means you're definitely not safe just because your hardware is only a few years old.
Right.
And this really gets at the industry's biggest weakness. All these legacy devices just left unpatched. The D-Link example in the research is perfect. Those devices were exposed through 4 separate vulnerabilities, 2 of them critical ones found just months ago. The systemic failure here is that D-Link, like a lot of manufacturers, just decides not to patch end-of-life devices. So organizations that bought that hardware years ago are just perpetually vulnerable.
That is the core issue, isn't it? This kind of perpetual technological debt. You mentioned the Mirai connection. The malware actually identifies itself as Shadow V2 build V1.0.0 IoT version. How does that Mirai LZRD lineage inform what it can do?
Well, Mirai was, of course, the groundbreaking malware that first really weaponized IoT on a massive scale. The LZRD variant it's similar to was known for its fast distribution and better command architecture.
Right.
So Shadow V2 inherits that strength, the ability to manage a huge fleet of compromised devices efficiently, but it adds that deep vulnerability knowledge and, crucially, much better stealth.
Okay, let's talk about that stealth. We know what it is and what it targets. So how does it get persistent access and then, hide from standard security tools?
The initial compromise is pretty simple. It uses a downloader script to pull the main payload, but the critical anti-detection feature is how it hides its internal communications. And this is where it gets really interesting. Shadow V2 uses something called XOR encoding to obfuscate its configuration data. That's where it stores command strings, file paths, all its target lists.
So if I'm a network defender or just that simple scanner, what does that actually look like? Is it just junk data?
Effectively, yes. Think of it like a simple substitution cipher, but the key is always changing. If your security tool is looking for a specific string, a known file path, or a command like initiated check arrows, it's not going to find it. Because that data is scrambled, it just sails past most signature-based detection. It's built to stay hidden for a long, long time.
And once it gets that persistent hidden access, its main job is just pure disruption, launching these huge DDoS attacks.
That's right. Distributed denial of service. And the botnet is extremely versatile. It supports multiple protocols, UDP floods, TCP floods, and also these more specialized HTTP based attacks, which are often harder to spot.
So what does that mean for scale? The sources mention an infrastructure coordinating devices across six continents.
Six continents: North and South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. That global spread tells you two things. First, just how common unpatched IoT devices are everywhere. And second, the serious level of resources behind the actors who built Shadow V2. They're not just looking for targets in one region. They're optimizing for maximum global impact.
And that indiscriminate nature is reflected in who they're targeting, right? We're seeing government agencies, manufacturing, telcos, even schools, seven different sectors.
Correct. When you have a massive geographically diverse botnet, you don't limit yourself. You target whoever is weakest or whoever your client pays you to target. It really highlights how these IoT vulnerabilities create a universal security problem that just cuts across all those traditional industry lines.
If you look at the common devices it hits, routers, network-attached storage, DVRs, these aren't high-value servers. So why are they the perfect targets for these massive attacks?
They're the perfect force multipliers. That's the key. These devices have persistent high bandwidth connections, and they get the least amount of security attention. They're often forgotten about during patching cycles.
When you say force multiplier, can you give us a tangible example of that scale?
Sure. Imagine a single, low-powered smart camera in a warehouse. On its own, its power is tiny. But when Shadow V2 compromises, say, 10,000 of those cameras all over the world, they are all directed at once to flood a target server with traffic. Suddenly, that tiny little camera is part of a 100 gigabit cannon aimed at an ISP or a bank. These devices basically give criminals free computational resources and network bandwidth.
And that technical capability brings us right to the business side of this. These attacks aren't just for chaos. They're purely profit-driven criminal enterprises.
That is the critical thing to realize. Organizations need to see these botnets as professional, profitable businesses. If you understand the economic motive, you can start to anticipate their behavior. They will go where the money is.
And the sources break it down into two main business models for these operators.
Right. The first, and most common, is just renting out the botnet's capacity. So other criminals, maybe ransomware groups, will pay to use the DDoS capability to knock a target offline. The second model is direct extortion. They launch an attack, cause a huge disruption, and then demand a crypto payment to make it stop.
You mentioned the sophistication of Shadow V2. That level of professional development suggests they're aiming for a pretty high-tier criminal market. What do these underground services actually look like?
They can be surprisingly polished. We're talking about operations with, you know, actual customer support, usually on encrypted chat channels to make sure the attack is working right. They offer service level guarantees. They'll promise a certain attack duration or a minimum amount of traffic.
So there are actual tiered pricing structures, like a platinum package to knock a government site offline versus a basic one for a small shop.
Absolutely. The price is based on the duration of the attack, the bandwidth you want measured in gigabits per second, and crucially, geographic targeting. If a client only wants devices from Europe and North America, that costs more. The complexity of Shadow V2, its global reach, its stealth, makes it a premium asset in this criminal economy.
So all the professionalism we see in Shadow V2, the deep vulnerability knowledge, the robust obfuscation, it all points to experienced actors preparing for high-value operations.
It suggests they're building a reliable business asset. I mean, the fact that the first thing we saw was a test run confirms they're validating their product before going to market. They're getting ready to either launch a commercial botnet for hire service or start some very big planned extortion campaigns. Reliability equals profitability.
Okay, so given all this, the exploitation of both near and ancient flaws, what's the immediate action plan for organizations? How do you defend against something this sophisticated?
We have to start with the absolute basics, because the biggest vulnerability is often just not knowing what you have on your network. So many organizations lack a complete, accurate inventory of their internet-connected devices. They've got cameras, sensors, old routers installed years ago and forgotten. Massive blind spots.
So network discovery and device visibility is step one. You can't patch what you can't see.
Precisely. You need regular, automated network scans to find these unauthorized or forgotten IoT devices. And once you know what you have, the next step has to address that D-Link scenario we talked about. Mm-hmm. Technology lifecycle management.
Firmware updates. They're a pain, but they're obviously the most critical defense.
They're non-negotiable. Organizations have to set clear policies for retiring end-of-life devices. If a vendor stops patching a device, that device has to be replaced, period. It doesn't matter if it still works. This proactive management planning replacements before support expires is the only way to neutralize Shadow V2's ability to use those old flaws.
What if a company just has too much IoT gear? They can't replace it all at once. How do they contain the damage when a compromise happens?
That's where network segmentation is absolutely vital. You have to limit the potential damage, isolate your IoT devices, cameras, HVC controls, guest routers on separate, highly restricted network segments. Use strict firewall rules to keep them from talking to your sensitive business systems. That way, if a camera gets compromised, it can't be used as a pivot point to get into your core database.
And finally, since we know Shadow V2 uses that XOR encoding, security teams can't just rely on finding a known signature. How do they need to adjust their detection?
They have to prioritize behavioral analysis. Simple as that. Most IoT devices have very predictable communication patterns. A security camera, for example, should really only be talking to one internal server or maybe a cloud service. It should not be suddenly initiating connections to dozens of random servers in other countries.
So you're looking for deviations from that established norm. A router pushing out weird amounts of data or a camera making outbound calls it's never made before.
Exactly. Behavioral monitoring is key, alongside looking for those specific indicators of compromise, like unusual outbound connections. That's a huge red flag that it's talking to a command and control server.
The whole Shadow V2 campaign really just underscores this systemic industry issue, doesn't it? That manufacturers so often prioritize features and time to market over real security, and it leaves everyone exposed.
And our reliance on these devices for facility security, for industrial automation, it means the consequences of a botnet infection go way beyond just a service disruption now. It can create real-world tangible damage.
And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, given the scale and professionalism we're seeing, organizations really should be anticipating a massive shift in compliance requirements around IoT security.
Oh, absolutely. Regulators are watching this very closely. They recognize the societal risk here. The next wave of mandated security compliance is definitely coming.
Which raises an important question for you to think about. If Shadow V2 represents the new gold standard for criminal botnets, and regulators are starting to demand accountability for every single device you connect to your network, are you prepared for that next level of mandated IoT security?
It really is a matter of when, not if. Take that knowledge and secure your networks.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thank you for tuning in.